Intervju Radija Študent. The truth is beautified. No mystery, no surprise. Playful to get wise. V tokratnem intervjuju Radija Študent se bomo pogovarjali z zasedbo Juno Reactor, ki že nekaj let buri duhove na glasbeni sceni. V začetku 90-ih let je idejni vodja in glavni komponist Ben Watkins ustanovil kolektiv, ki naj bi povezoval vizualno in zvočno umetnost v enotne multimedijske instalacije. Po nekaj letih so Juno Reactor postali prvaki tako imenovanega Goa Trensa, a so se do konca 90-ih oddaljili od vsakršne žanrske definicije. Njihov jutrišnji koncert v Ljubljani, ki pomeni prvi koncert v Sloveniji sploh, se bo zgodil na pobudo zasedbe Laibach, ki je z Juno Reactor sodelovala v zgodnjih 90-ih, ko sta bila oba benda pod obkriljem založbe Mute. V pričujočem intervjuju sem se v prostorih vodstva Kina Šiške pogovarjal s tremi člani trenutne postave Juno Reactor. Kitaristom Sugizom iz Japonske, bobnarjem Bajijem, nekdaj članov legendarnih Silks and the Benches, ter vodjo in edinim stalnim članom Juno Reactor, Benom Watkinsom.
Juno Reactor was somehow invited by Laibach and Jani Novak. So I noticed that you had in 90s you had one great collaboration. So you were making the song The Final Countdown, and you were playing also the God is God. How the collaboration started with Laibach?
Well, I really like their track Life is Life. And then I was watching, I don't know, 6 months later, I was watching a film called The Ten Commandments, and he goes, God is God. And I went, there's a track. So I started writing God is God. Then I sent a demo. I gave a demo to Mute. Ivan came along, found the demo on the shelf in Mute, listened to it, and went, ooh, I like this as well. And then they did a cover of it. They did that. They didn't tell me, they just did their own version. And then they put their version on the album before ours had even been released. So, like, I mean, I'd had that song since, like, 1991 or something, 92. And I didn't really put it on an album until 97. I kept it for 5 years because I didn't think the audience would get into it.
Yeah, but I listened to that song and it's quite different than Laibach version. I mean, Laibach version is different than yours.
Laibach's always different, yeah.
So did you have any other collaboration? Did you play together in England at that time?
We've never played together. And it just seemed... we're quite similar in a few ways. That we both come from a very much like an art collective type of start. Mm-hmm. Although Laibach's kept up with it more than we have. And the whole point of Juno Reactor in the beginning was to be like an art collective, where it would be like, you know, visual artists, filmmakers, sculptors, installation artists, mm-hmm. whoever wanted to come into site, you know, we had this sort of, we wanted like a Dadaist type, you know, sort of fantasy sort of image of Juno Reactor. And it didn't work out because the majority of the money for sponsorship really came from record companies. Mm-hmm. And it was very hard putting on the shows. But we got that in common. And speaking to Ivan, it just, you know, when I came out here in earlier this year, there's loads of things that I think we could do. We just get on very well. And he's got some very great project ideas. I love his conceptual ideas.
Yeah, I heard that you will collaborate with Volkswagen, probably.
I think it would be nice. I mean, you know, it's got to move forward. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of... Ivan's got a lot of things in his head as where to take it. And when I listen to it, I think there's a lot of improvements that can be made. But I think it's... when he first told me about it, I thought, this ain't gonna work. But when I listen to it, there's a lot of it that does work. You know, some of the sort of more cliche jazz type of stuff doesn't really work. But if you get in certain players, I think it could really work.
So, but Laibach and Juno Reactor are quite different in the, approach. So Laibach is more or less conceptual band, so they hire musicians to make music for them, and you're the musician. So do you think this is the way to collaborate somehow?
Well, I think there's obvious differences, but I mean, Juno Reactor has a very sort of fluid lineup as well, you know, so like with Budgies playing with us at the moment, and Sagiza is playing with us at the moment. And it's like, it's just, with Juno Reactor, it's not so much like going around hiring people, it's more like who wants to be involved.
If I go back to the start, you mentioned your, I would say, visual starts, so like the visual art project. So how did it came? Were you surprised, I don't know, in the year 93 when you signed for the record company and start to act like a band, so-called pioneers of trance, go-trance movement? Was that surprising for you at that time?
Well, I mean, you didn't really, there's no real, no one comes along with a crown and gives you a crown. It's just that, you know, I'd been doing electronic music since the early 80s. And I'd had many bands and projects that were sort of, I was learning a lot of things. And I suppose when Juno Reactor came along, I was able to put everything together. I was more complete. But I'd been doing electronic music. Like, I was touring with Budgie. When was that?
Can't remember.
So you start collaborating in the 80s somewhere already?
Yeah, because we always did a lot of, season the Banshees did a lot of 12-inch remixes on vinyl, and Ben was certainly, that's how we met, I think, at that point. You were doing remixes.
Well, we were touring in 84 together.
Yeah.
Susie and the Banshees let us support them on a tour, I think, in 84.
Yeah.
Well, and that's when I first met Budgie. But we didn't really know each other. And I'm, you know, Severin produced our first single. Steve Severin, the bass player for the Banshees, produced our first single. And then, as Budgie said, we remixed some of it. Which ones was it?
I definitely remember you doing Stargazer.
And then I did some work with you on The Creatures.
The Creatures stuff as well, yeah. And then we collaborated a little on that, because one of your tracks was pretty much on. You reworked.
Yeah, then I got asked to do a track for the film Lost in Space.
Ah, yeah.
And there was the track that I really wanted to do on their album for The Creatures, which was Another Planet.
Yeah.
I loved that tune. And then this director said, have you got a tune? So I asked Budgie and Sue if I could just make an abortion of their track. And I did.
But actually, you came to life, gave birth, quite good.
I think, sort of, I'd never got that track right. I sort of fucked up, I think, on all the rhythm. I didn't really like what I did, but I was happy that it got in the film. You know, that was an achievement. He'd been through about, you know, 800 tracks. And he's, for some odd reason, like that one, you know. And you can hear it for about 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But that was it. And then I remember on Labyrinth, I had a track that was in 3/4 and Budgie was around and I said, do you want to come over and play? He co-wrote that track with me and
the collaboration started somehow.
Yeah, and I've always loved Budgie's drum style, and it's very different, and even like tracks that Budgie isn't playing on, I've always thought about the way that he plays either timpani or his drum, so it's great to have him playing with Juno Reactor now.
So, one question really for all of you. How do you perform live? So, Juno Reactor is a mixture of live analog instruments and computer-generated music. So, how is it getting along on the stage?
I think basically Juno Reactor's electrics is like instrument, like live. Because this is very comfortable, you know, in Juno Reactor. When I played in Juno Reactor, it's very comfortable because our feeling is very high and very creative.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it's very open.
Yeah, very open.
So with, say, like with Sigizo, I don't say there's certain tracks, say like Pistolero,
mm-hmm.
that he plays perfectly note for mm-hmm. note, but the majority of other stuff, he's pretty free to do whatever he wants, when he wants. So it's sort of, there's a lot of improvisation that can be done, and it's, anything's pretty much allowed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's, I'd say, the difference in, like, say, Mabee, he can't remember an arrangement to save his life. It's mm-hmm. like he just lives on the moment, there and then. So I can break down, like, where I've got my computer stuff. If I want, I can break down any track to its, like, very smallest components, just a bass drum or a hi-hat or just a rhythm, just the bass line. I can bring in top lines. I can totally deconstruct it, or I can just let it go. And so it's sort of, it's a bit like having your antennae open to what's happening on the track and what everyone else is playing. I'd say some people are more rigid than others. You know, like Taz generally does the same thing. Ghetto Priest, he's pretty, he sort of runs pretty, he does what he wants, really.
So what about you? How do you compete with the machine?
With machine and computer, so you're...
There's no competition.
Yeah.
No competition. It can do two things. It can it frees you up. Not freezes, but frees you. But it's also, so it liberates in one way, and another way, you really have to listen a lot harder, and so you have to play differently. But then I quite like the Mabee philosophy, you know, just like try to remember the arrangements, but not worry too much if you can't, which is kind of fortunate that Ben's not too rigid that way. I don't know. It's a different experience again. So I'm just enjoying it.
And I think all computer sound is Ben's specialty.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just play with Ben.
So you mentioned all the guests like Ghetto Priest, Taz, but on your record you have many, many, many more guests. Almost on every song you have mm-hmm. a different guest. It's either a singer, either instrumentalist. So how do you perform these songs alive, because you cannot have, I suppose, all the guests you collaborate with well, on the records?
I'd say the hardest one at the moment is something, a track called Tanta Pena,
mm-hmm.
with this singer called Yasmin Levy. I heard her on Radio 3 in England, and I had to pull up the car and stop and just listen. As her voice, you know, these sort of voices where just the hairs on your body stand up. And I called her, she came down, we did the track. And then for Taz to sing that one is very difficult. It's out of her range. And Yasmin has this sort of voice of like a thunderstorm and a butterfly all at the same time. It's
mm-hmm.
incredibly different and very unique. So Taz can't sing that one. Obviously the ones that she sang originally she does, but she also has to sound a bit like Natasha Atlas. And mm-hmm. so she does... You know, she covers other people's work. And say, like, if there's Eduardo Nuebla, who played, like, you know, some of the tracks like Conquistador and War Dogs, Sigizo's playing his parts. But again, he's free to open them up and pretty much improvise and do what he wants. But it is difficult that, I mean, my philosophy on sort of recording is if I meet someone and they're an interesting musician, I just get the feeling that they've been presented to me for a reason. And it's nice to just, if they're willing to come into the studio and do some work and put stuff down, then I do that. I don't want to make it fixed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't, every time I've had a fixed lineup in a band, it's never worked. It's always just been sort of lots of ego problems and so after this really awful experience of the band previous, where I'd been working with one guy for about 6-7 years, I decided I'd never have a fixed lineup again, you know.
And also, I just wanted to ask you about the process of composing songs. So are you working alone or you're working as a band in the process of recording, of making?
If Sugiso comes over, we're still, I think, with Sugiso, it's like in an infancy stage of where we're at. I still don't know what the best I can get from Sugiso is. I need more time. I think we could spend a lot more time in the studio. It's getting, because Sugiso's so busy, it's very hard to find that time. So a lot of the time, you know, when we're playing live, it's like when we were at Azura, I was hearing Budgie was playing all these rhythms. And I was going, shit, I wish we had this, I wish I was recording this. Because he's just messing around. But, you know, I can hear that as, like, you know, could hear that easily as new tracks. If we were sponsored by, like, say, a major record label, I'm sure we could just go into a studio collectively and actually sort of do it a very conventional way. But the way that it's being done at the moment maybe takes a lot longer to get around to completion.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have major label, but you seems quite popular, I know, for your shows on Ozora festivals and all around. So I heard that sometimes you bring a broader orchestra to the concerts, but not always.
I think there's just only two other Africans that lately haven't been able to come, because the last time they were invited, they got lost in South Africa. They were herding some cows up in the northern, this is true, they were herding cows in northern Transkei, and they got lost and we couldn't find them, and it was an expensive exercise, so I just thought, well, I'll leave them at home until there's enough money to really do it properly again.
Okay,
no. Or maybe so that next time they decide they won't get lost with a herd of cows and that they really won't, maybe they just didn't want to come. And I thought, fair enough. I mean, I love having them. And it was also good maybe shedding two people, because there's a lot of percussion on stage. And sometimes it got a very clattery and just too much, you know, a lot of, like say with the African guys, they don't really stop playing until you give them a different instrument. Like Simpiwi plays piano and Tim, you know, lots of timbali, and they can get very clattery, so.
What about the visuals? We were talking before about visual art. I was watching your videos. They're really artistic. So how important is this visual side of the band for you, even on stage, even on videos?
I really like films. I really like art, I suppose. I come out, you know, all my... The people, when I was growing up, I was sort of hanging around with everyone from art college, although I didn't go myself because I was in bands. So, you know, visually I like things, you know, say like with the Sergei Parajanov film For God Is God, you know, I like videos that are different. I don't really like this sort of R&B soft porn type stuff. It doesn't really interest me. So whenever I get a chance to get hold of a camera, I prefer to do things that are maybe different.
But who do you collaborate with for your videos, for Juno Reactor videos?
I do them, you know, but I don't get that much opportunity to do it because it takes quite a long time.
You released the record, Gods and Monsters, so what are the plans? You're going on the tour promoting this record?
I don't know what we're promoting. I mean, records, it's... it would be nice next year to promote a new record. I suppose we're still looking at promoting Gods and Monsters, but also the whole catalogue nowadays, because everyone's able to download it for free or get it off iTunes. So it's sort of... But we left Europe out of the equation for a long time, playing mainly in Japan or America. And the management I had at the time wasn't really interested in trying to get into Europe. So it's a bit like we need to wake up the fact that we are a band playing out in Europe now. So it's quite unusual to come here, because we've got a lot of fans from Slovenia that have travelled a long way to come and see us, like over in Belgium or in Hungary, and it's great for them that we can come here and present it here. And I really love playing in these countries, the sort of more the Eastern European countries. It just seems very fresh.
Can we expect from tomorrow's concert?
I'm so excited. I'm really so excited. I really want to play in this country. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting for me.
Last time I was in Slovenia, leaving Ljubljana, somebody gave me the new flag. It was the night that the money changed and the flag changed.
Aha, mm-hmm. So it was 91, I suppose.
Something like that.
It's a very important opportunity.
So, thank you for your time and interview, and see you tomorrow on the concert.
Yeah, I'd just like to say for the concert tomorrow, I expect to be, you know, a lot of excitement and magic to happen. That's what I say.
The truth is Poslušali ste intervju z zasedbo Juno Reactor, ki bo ob domačih lajbah nastopila jutri v kinu Šiška. Z ekipo Juno Reactor se je pogovarjal Miha Colner.
Intervju Radija Študent.